Welcome back. Thank you, Emma and Nigel, for worship. Do appreciate that. We're going to take communion together today. So if you want to pause the button and just prepare for that, then please take this opportunity and do that. Remember what the Lord says. It was a command for us as his followers. He says, do this. In other words, participate of the cup and of the bread. Do this in remembrance of me. On the day he was betrayed, he said, do this. So he took the bread and he said, this is my body broken for you. And as we partake of the bread, remember what he said, I am the bread of life. He also took the cup, which represents his blood that was shed for me and you. And he said, drink this in remembrance of me. So Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your body that was broken for us and your blood that was shed for our salvation. Father, we thank you that your blood still speaks to us today. Father, as we come before your throne of grace this morning, as we come and listen and look at your word, Lord. Reveal to us your truth, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're continuing in Corinthians. It's 1 Corinthians 14. If we go back to 1 Corinthians 12, Paul was talking about spiritual gifts. He was saying, now about spiritual gifts or gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. Paul wanted the church in Corinth to be informed about what they were doing. And what we need to remember is this was a church that was a little bit chaotic. There was no order. And Paul was bringing some instruction here. And over the years of being a Christian, I've realized that you can look into God's word and you can listen to someone preaching about a certain passage. And you go, yeah, that makes sense. I agree with that. And then you listen to another perspective and you go, yeah, I agree with that. And if you look at the two agreements, they can't agree. You can't both be right. So what I want to encourage us to do as church, it's just like Paul said, I don't want you to be uninformed. So I want you to be informed about what Paul is saying in this portion of scripture. Now, I don't profess to be somebody who knows everything about everything. I don't. I take the Bible at the value of the truth and the revelation that God has already given us. And I wrestle and I weigh things up and I dig into his word and I reference and cross-reference and look at the cause of first mention and see what Paul is saying, what God is saying through Paul. So when we look in Corinthians, we need to have the backdrop, church, that this was a church that was a little bit, that was excited about what the freedom that they'd been given in Christ. They was excited about what they were experiencing, yet they had very little understanding of how to handle these spiritual gifts. And Paul was trying to bring some clarity. So in 12, he says, I don't want you to be uninformed, which means he wants them to be informed. Same for me and you. I want you to be informed about spiritual gifts. In verse 13, it talks about the whole love chapter. It says in 13:1, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but I do not have love, I am a resounding gong, a clanging cymbal. Paul is saying, listen, don't just be a noise, be relevant. So we start today in chapter 14, verse 1. Paul says this, follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. He starts with, follow the way of love. Without love, we're a resounding gong. God is love. Love is patient, love is kind, love is slow to anger. It does not keep any record of wrongs. Love isn't this Hollywood symbol that we see where just the one word for love and sexuality and everything else all mingled into one. It's the agape that we were talking about last week. But love also has an element of justice. Also has an element of being judged and being judged rightly and fairly. God is a gracious God, yes, but he's a just God. So God loves us enough to discipline us, doesn't he? He does. And so love is a lot broader than what we've been brought up with. And Paul says, follow the way of love. You know, do things not just for yourself, not just with selfish ambition, but with the will of the Father, from the will of the Father and for the good of all. He's talking to the church here. Eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. Now, eagerly desire means to earnestly look for, to eagerly desire. And when I was a young Christian, I thought that it would be wrong of me to ask for something that God hasn't already given me. That surely if God wanted me to have a gift to do something, he would just endow me with it. But Paul is saying here, eagerly desire. So we can desire things. Lord, if I haven't, I would love to be able to sing. Maybe I should eagerly desire that gift. I don't eagerly desire it, but I do desire it. But in my natural thinking, I think that could never happen. But what about if I was to seek God's face on that? What if I was really going to say, Lord, you know, give me that gift of song that I may put a tune together, that I may be able to sing in tune? We're talking about the spiritual gifts here. They were mentioned, some of them, in our earlier passages. But Paul specifically says in this one verse here, eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. And the reason, one of the reasons why I wanted to bring this series isn't because you've never heard anyone preach on this before. Isn't because you don't have certain ideas about what is being said about these passages. It's simply because of this. If we go back some months, even years, I've been ministering for a long time. I ministered on the suddenlies of life. What happens in the suddenly? We become so familiar with a sermon series that we can gloss over the truth. Well, we're in those suddenlies, aren't we? What happens in the suddenlies? God wants us to have that foundation. I ministered some months ago for quite a long period of time about the anchors in the storms of life. Christ is the anchor for our souls. God is the anchor in the storms of life. And some of us have been, will be, or are going through storms. So it's relevant for me and you now, isn't it? So today, last week, a week before, we look at spiritual gifts. And the reason I want to look at spiritual gifts is because when we come together as a body, and Paul's talking to the body, he's not talking just to individuals here, he's talking to the corporate. Although there is an element in his teaching, and we'll get onto that in a moment, about the individual, mainly he's concerned about the corporate well-being, the edifying, the building up, the encouraging of the whole. He's talking about the church when they meet together for worship, collective worship. There's things that we can do in our own homes, in our own spaces, with our own peer group, but there's other things God wants us to do and be active participants when we come together as a body. I hope that makes sense. Paul tries to address some of these issues. When we look at the word prophecy here, when I became a Christian, I had one dimensional aspect of the word prophecy. I thought it was just to proclaim the future. To prophesy was, for me, was to speak into someone's life something that that person believed God had revealed to them about them. Right, that's not what's being said here. To prophesy, especially the spiritual gifts of prophecy, is to proclaim God's revelation, God's truth. Now remember, there wasn't a pulpit ministry as such where I am preaching, proclaiming God's word. I'm prophesying, proclaiming, bringing forward what God has already revealed to me through his revelation, his word. Yes? Right, I'm prophesying. But there wasn't a pulpit ministry. There would be numerous people who had something to share. Now, Paul says, eagerly desire that gift to share God's truth with other people. So let's just start there, shall we, as a church? There are things you can do. You can prophesy, you proclaim God's word to your neighbours, to your friends, to the postman. You can proclaim God's goodness to those around you. You don't have to be in a church service to do that. But I want to encourage you over these next weeks until we come together as a church, and I'm going to be in talks with the Village Hall soon just to see if there's something that we can do to be able to meet together. And I'll keep you informed on that. But over these next few weeks, or maybe a week or two, we don't know how long that will be, I want you to eagerly desire that gift, the gift to prophesy, to share God's revelation. Because when we read the Bible, let me give you an example. We read the Bible and something jumps out at us and we go, wow, I've read this many times, but I've never seen that. That's a revelation of what God's already revealed, but you've seen it. You were blind, but now you see. It isn't a new truth, but it's a new truth to you. It makes sense? Well, come and share it with us as a body. So if we take what Paul is saying, we put it into context for us today. Yes, I will prepare a message for a Sunday. But if God speaks to you through his word and it's a fresh revelation to you, then share it with us. Paul is talking to this congregation, this gathering of God's people, and he's talking about the unorderly conduct. Bring it into order. It will all make sense as we go along. So first thing, I would like you to realize that it's okay to eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, that God wants to bless you and endow you with something that's not just natural but supernatural. There's things that you may feel that if only God would trust me with. Well, ask him for it and then come and share with us as a church. It goes on in verse 2 and he says this, "For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people." Now, the word for tongue here is language, but it's an unknown language. When you look through scripture, and I've looked through scripture many times, and I want you to have a look for yourself. But what I found is three types of language in that sense. Let me explain. First is a language that if I speak English and you understand English, it's a language that you understand. That makes sense so far? Good. The other language is if I speak in French and you don't understand French, the language that I speak is unintelligible to you, but I understand it because I can speak French and translate French. It's still a language. It's a known language. Use German. Use any language you like. It's a language that someone will be able to interpret because it's a known language. So it's a language that we know and understand. And then there's a language that we don't know, but someone will understand. Okay. Then I find there's a third language, and it's what Paul says here. For anyone who speaks in a tongue, in a language that's unintelligible, does not speak to people but to God. So this third language that the Bible does talk about, speaking in tongues, not just a known language but an unknown language, not an unknown language to somebody who understands the French or the German, but an unknown language, full stop. Because they don't speak to people, Paul says, they speak to God. So this language, this spiritual language, this tongue, is an unknown language that God understands. It goes one way. Indeed, no one understands them. So no one understands this language. It's a one-way relationship. It's from us to God. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their understanding. They're encouraging their comfort. So Paul is saying this, and the tongues have been controversial for years and years and years. There are some groups of Christians that says to speak in tongues is spiritual language, to shabba-dabba-do, to do this, and I'm not making fun of tongues, I speak in tongues. You won't hear me, why? Because it's a language that I speak to God, not to you. And Paul goes on to explain why we do that in a moment. But there are some people that think if you don't speak in tongues, this spiritual language to God as you worship God, then you haven't been born again. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The gift of tongues is a gift, the same as the gift of prophecy, the same as the gift of miracles. They're gifts that God gives. You can eagerly desire them if you so wish them, but not everybody has them. Remember what we said in the chapters before. Does everyone speak in a tongue? No. Does everyone prophesy? No. Does everyone see works of miracles? No. But you can eagerly desire them. So if to speak in a spiritual language is something that you want, then you ask God for it. But he talks about prophecy, proclaiming God's word. He talks about teaching and preaching and sharing God's truth. Just reading a psalm or reading a portion of scripture. That's to prophesy, to proclaim God's revelation. Yes? So I want us to understand these things. So one, you're not misled by them. Two, you don't misuse them. And three, you eagerly desire the gifts that you would like God to endow you with. So that when we come together as a church, we can share together. Because there are people who study. I know there are those that used to preach years ago. Or used to minister in their old churches. And they don't now. But listen, God has endowed you with the ability to dissect this word. Come and share that word with us. Paul's talking about order and disorder. And what Paul says is, listen, I'm not telling you not to do these things. I'm telling you to do them in an order. And we'll see that as we go through this portion of scripture. It'll all make sense. But my main purpose to bring in messages on the gifts is so that when we collectively meet together as a church and come to worship, we won't be afraid of the work of the Spirit, but we'll embrace the work of the Spirit, knowing that it's true and not false. Because there's a right way to do things and there's a wrong way to do things. There's the right way to handle the Word of God, which means there's the wrong way to handle the Word of God. There's a truth and it's the whole truth, not just partly true. If it's a part truth, it's not the whole truth, is it? So when it comes to Scripture, Paul, the apostle called by Christ Jesus, he understood his calling and he understood how to rightly handle the Word of God. Why? Because he spent time with the Father. And the Father illuminated his words through the Spirit that lives within Paul. So Paul could communicate it and articulate it to the churches that God had made him head over. So that he could speak about the false prophets. By telling people about the false prophets, he could expose their false teaching and therefore bring in the truth. But God has called me and you to weigh up and use his word and rightly handle his word. And gifts of the Spirit is part of biblical truth. Let's not be afraid of them. But God maybe, or maybe not even maybe, but God wants to endow you with his gifts. And some of you already operate in them, but you're not aware of it. So over this next week, as you're praying, as you're reading, just going on to this one about the prophecy, about speaking God's word, use this as a measuring stick. The one who prophesies speaks to people for their encouraging. Remember, those that speak in tongues, they speak to God. And it's worship. They speak to God. Those that proclaim his word speak to people for their strengthening, encouraging and comfort. So if you've got something on your heart and it will strengthen, encourage and comfort, then there's a good chance that it's from God. So bring it to church. Email us, write us, let us know what's happening so we can share it with the body. In verse 4 it says this, anyone who speaks in a tongue, this is the spiritual language. We've got the tongue, English, you understand English, French, Frenchmen may speak it, but we won't understand it, but it's a known language. And then there's the unknown language, the tongues that the charismatic Pentecostal will talk about. Those tongues is a spiritual language. It says this, anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. Now, there are some commentators that would say this. They don't understand the speaking in tongues, so therefore they say it's not of God. Well, Paul talks about it here. It's in the Bible. It is of God. We may not understand it. We may not like it at times, but it's still truth. There are those that have got the gift of speaking a heavenly language. And when we speak that heavenly language, we edify ourselves. And some commentators will say it's a selfish gift. It's not. What do we do when we read the Bible? We are edified. We are encouraged. We are comforted. When we speak in a tongue, if you have that gift and you speak in that tongue to God, you edify yourself. You may not understand with your mind, Paul talks about it later on, you may not understand it with your intellect, but with your spirit you are built up. Now you may ask, and I'm glad you did, why would God give anyone that gift? To speak in a language that they can't understand? Well, here's one reason. Have you ever been in a situation or overpowered by a circumstance and you don't know what to pray? God, I don't know what to pray. I don't know what to do. Well, that's the time to use that gift if you have it. That you speak with the inner man, the spiritual man, and you present your request to God. You worship him and there's that relationship. You don't understand it, but you're built up. There are times that we need to be built up. We need to edify ourselves. So if you have that gift, use it, but use it in accordance to what the Bible says. And if you don't have that gift and you don't want that gift, that's fine. If you don't have that gift and you do want that gift, ask God for it. You'll know if it's real, won't you? Of course you won't. But the one who prophesies edifies the church. So when we speak God's word, we're edifying the church. Even when we bring correction, it edifies the church. Why? Because when we bring correction, it says, stop, don't do this, do that. Because if you do this, it will lead to temptation. Temptation will lead to sin, and sin will decay and destroy you. Don't do it. So it encourages you, doesn't it? It encourages you, it reminds you. Yes, it challenges us. Paul is very clear. If you speak in tongues, the tongue that he's talking about is not the intelligible tongue, but the unintelligible tongue. That's the spiritual language. Speak to God by yourself. Edify yourself. But when you come together as a church, leave that behind and prophesy. Proclaim God's truth. It will edify the church. Paul says this, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues. Now remember, this was a congregation that when they gathered, everybody was doing everything at the same time. There was no order. Now, I've been challenged over the years, and particularly over the last couple of years, because I wanted to be a leader that would leave room for other people to grow. To not just to dismiss things because they weren't my idea, but to actually allow individuals to run with what they believe God had on their heart. And sometimes I would find that there were people who were not content with order, but just wanted disorder. And I was drawn to these passages of scripture, and they're helping me because I realized that God is a God of order. It's okay to do the same things in the same way. But what we must do, we must always leave room for the Spirit of God to change things. That's the difference. There's the meantime, isn't it? In the meantime, we'll continue to do what we should do. But if God comes in to change things, we should be open and ready to change. Does that make sense? Good. I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be edified. So let's just pause at that portion of scripture there. We're talking about tongues, unless someone interprets. Why would God give anyone the gift of interpretation if it's a spiritual language? If it's a language that is between the individual and God? Well, tongues is a worship. We worship one way, we give him our adoration, our prayers and petitions. Prophecy is proclaiming God's word. So when someone speaks in a tongue, it's not to the church, it's to God. But if someone speaks in a tongue and there is someone who can interpret that, who have the gift and interpretation, the church will be edified because they will hear something like, great are you, Father, you're a merciful God, you're slow to anger. That you're a gracious God. And then they can say amen. If there's not someone to interpret in the church, then the speaker should be silent. Paul's very clear on that. But there are many churches who they ignore that completely and encourage everybody to speak in tongues, many people at the same time. Paul is very clear. Order. Do you know what the 7 days in the week? 7 days in the week. And on the seventh day, on the first day of the week, when we gather together as people, there's only an hour and a half of worship service, isn't there? So we've got the rest of the 22 and a half hours to speak in tongues if we so wish to. So why is it that we just desire to do it when we meet together in that corporate gathering? Well, I don't know the answer to that. But I do know what Paul is saying to me here. He's saying there is an order. God is a God of order. God wants what you have to say to edify other people. If you need to be edified yourself, speak to me in that language that I've given you. Come before me in worship, prayer and praise. Build yourself up and then give to others. Paul is very clear about wanting to bless the church. And so just to wrap this bit up about speaking in tongues, because I believe it has been very controversial. Some of you will believe it's of God and some may not believe it's of God. Look at God's word. But we can't take the good without the bad, can we? And we can't take the bad without the ugly. There may be parts of scripture that you don't like, but it's still God's word, isn't it? When God tells you not to do something that you would rather do, and you know that you shouldn't do it, it's still God's word, isn't it? It's the same with tongues. It's in here. There's the tongues of angels and there's the tongues of man. There's a tongue that will be intelligible by somebody and there's a tongue that's unintelligible and it's spoken to God unless you have the gift of interpretation. I'm going to leave that one there. Now, brothers and sisters, if I come to you and speak in tongues, what good will it be unless I bring some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or word of instruction? Even in the case of lifeless things that make sounds such as the pipe or the harp, how will anyone know what tune is being played unless there is a distinction in the notes? Again, if the trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? So it is with you. Unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue, how will anyone know what you are saying? You will just be speaking into the air. So let's be clear. Some people may disagree with me on this and said, no, we should be speaking in tongues in church. Well, Paul says no. Well, I'm going to listen to Paul, not to you. I'm going to listen to what Paul has to say, not what I think, but what the Lord says through his revelation, through the apostle that he put on this earth to bring us teaching, encouragement and edification. If you think about wars, in this country, there's a, I should have got some recordings ready, but there's a trumpet sound. And when you hear that sound of the trumpet, it says, attack, attack. And then there's another trumpet sound. When you hear that sound of the trumpet, it says, retreat, retreat. Well, if all you heard was a noise, you wouldn't know whether to go or to run, would you? Well, that's what Paul is saying here. Even the lifeless things like the trumpet, unless it has sounds that we understand, we won't know the significance or the importance of it. How will we know to go into battle if we don't hear the sound? And Paul is saying the same thing in church life. He's addressing people who are excited about the gifts that they've got. But they're excited and they just want to all speak at the same time and they want to speak in this heavenly language. He goes on to say, listen, there are others that are coming in. It's not just about you. It's about the body and the body ministry. In verse 10, undoubtedly, there are all sorts of languages in the world, yet none of them without meaning. If then I do not grasp the meaning of what someone is saying, I am a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker is a foreigner to me. That speaks for itself. Verse 12. So it is with you, Church of Corinth. He's talking to the people there, the congregation. Since you are eager for gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. Paul is not saying, don't do this. Don't speak in tongues. Don't get excited. He's saying, be excited, but put everything in an order. And if you want to see the gifts of the Spirit manifest, then pray, be eager for the gifts of the Spirit. Try to excel in those that build up the church. What builds up the church better than to prophesy? To speak God's revelation out loud. Whoever hears these words of mine, the Bible says, whoever hears these words, repent and believe will be saved. So believe in your heart. Confess with your mouth. But we have to hear God's word in order to proclaim God's word. For this reason, the one who speaks in a tongue should pray that they may interpret what they say. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. This is where it comes, I say about the spiritual language. My spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. Why? Because my mind can't understand the language I'm using because it's a spiritual language. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my understanding. In other words, Paul saying, listen, you may have this gift of tongues, unknown tongues that you're praising God with, but also pray intelligible words so other people can say amen. And he says that as we go down. I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my understanding. Now, I've heard people sing in a heavenly language, or a language even that I don't understand. It could be a language that's known, or it could be a spiritual language, but I've heard them sing, and it's beautiful, but I don't understand what they're singing. I've sung out loud before in a language that I don't understand. And maybe that didn't sound quite so beautiful, but it edified me, encouraged me. But I couldn't say amen because I didn't understand what it was I was singing. So what Paul is saying here, it's okay to have that spiritual gift to edify yourself. But I want you to edify those around you. So when you sing praises to God, other people can join in and be encouraged and lifted up as well. Because it's about body ministry. That's what Paul is saying. Remember in the other passages that we read, it was like, if all is an eye, how would the hearing be? If all was an ear, where would the sense of smell be? And so on and so on. He's talking about a body here. And it's the same. He's going on with the spiritual gifts. He's saying, whatever you do, love has to be the backdrop. And when you act in love, you'll want to encourage others. Yes, you want to be encouraged yourself. But when you come together as a corporate church, after you've been edified the other 6 days of the week, when you come together, then edify the church, encourage the church, but not just one person, one platform minister or a worship team, but the whole church. You've got something to offer church. Bring it. Don't be afraid. As long as it encourages and edifies and it's done in order, then God will bless us through it. So share what God is saying to you through his word. Let's come prepared when we meet together. Otherwise, when you are praising God in the spirit, this is why I believe that those that have that gift of speaking in tongues, it's the gift of praise. It's to praise God. And Paul says it here. Otherwise, when you are praising God in the spirit, how can someone else who is now put in the position of an inquirer, someone who comes into the church for the first time, how can they say amen to your thanksgiving? They do not know what you are saying. You are giving thanks well enough, but no one else is edified. So when they were speaking in their unknown language, and it was a language that was different to the congregation, then that person was edified, but no one else was. And Paul saying, no, when we come together, we're a body. We're all important. Don't leave anybody out by just keeping this praise to yourself. Speak it out. Sing it out loud so we can say amen to what you're saying, what you're singing and what you're praising. In 18, Paul says this, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Paul acknowledges this gift. More than all of you. But in the church, I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 in a tongue. That's why it's important to speak a language that people will understand. I'm going to have to cut it short because I'm amazed at how quick time goes. We've been speaking now for 34, 35 minutes and time just goes so quickly, doesn't it? Well, it does for me anyway. I enjoy ministering God's word and There may be bits of this message that you don't understand. Well, look into God's word because he will reveal it to you. So let me just finish by going back to the beginning. The word of God is an anchor in the storms of life. That's why we spoke about that, because life gets stormy, but God keeps us steadfast. What do we do when the suddenlies come? Well, we trust God. It's the same message. When you look at that, if you used to look up some of them old messages on what happens in the suddenly, well, when the suddenly comes, when the wind and the waves come, God is still the anchor for our souls. He's still the answer to the question. He is enough. Christ is enough. And the reason that I want to bring these messages on spiritual gifts is to encourage you to dig into God's word, to see God's truth for yourself, to not be afraid of asking or eagerly desiring these gifts, and to know that you have the freedom to exercise these gifts when you come together as a church. You can bring these messages. You can say, I was reading the Psalms this morning and this jumped out at me and God revealed his truth about this afresh. Now, it may be revelation to you, but it may be revelation to other people. It may be said in such a way, in a language that someone else will understand. Does that make sense? So you may say it in a way that someone else can understand it. You're talking in English, but you put it in a way that someone goes, oh, I've never seen that before. Thank you, sister. Thank you, brother, for sharing. This is what Paul is saying. In this particular church where there is no platform ministry, he's saying, listen, wait for one another to finish. And if someone else has a revelation that's greater than that revelation, stop speaking and let that person speak. It was a different time, but it was the same order and the same God. I'm going to have to leave it at verse 19. But in the church, I'd rather speak in five intelligible words than instruct others. Then instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. In Acts 2:7, they were utterly amazed. They asked, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? This is after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Then how of each of us hearing them in our native language? Now, commentators will say this. Maybe the miracle was in the ear, not in the mouth, because people understood what was being said, even though there were different languages being spoken. That is not what Paul is talking about here in speaking in tongues. It's a spiritual language. Those were languages that were known. In 1 Corinthians 13:1, if I speak in tongues of men or of angels, but I do not have love, I am only a resounding gong. Listen, you may have that gift. God wants you to be edified. He wants you to pray for interpretation so you can edify the church. But God wants you to prophesy, proclaim his word, his truth, one to another and to those around us. In 1 Corinthians 14:39, therefore, my brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy and do not forbid the speaking in tongues. But everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. So I want to leave us with these thoughts, church, that God wants to endow you with spiritual gifts. Let's eagerly desire them. If you desire the gift, any of the gifts that God got on offer, then pray for them, ask for them. And then when he gives them to you, receive them and exercise them. But everything has to be done in order. So it's okay when we come together as church for you to come up and say, Pastor, I was praying this morning, last week, a month ago, and God revealed this to me. I'd like to share it with the church. It's this particular portion of scripture. It's this part of God's word. It's in line with his revelation. Come and share so that you can edify us. And when you edify us, you will also be edified because you're part of the church. So let's lay once and for all the issue of tongues to one side. If you want it, ask for it. If you don't want it, don't. If you have it, use it, but use it in an orderly fashion that you may be edified, but you leave it at the door when you come into church. Unless, of course, you're praying to yourself and you're worshipping to yourself. So church, let's eagerly desire what God has for us. It's a bit bitty this week. I do apologise for that. Don't have much time. Maybe we should allot an hour for preaching instead of a half an hour. That would be good. But time does go quick. If you have anything to share with us as a congregation, please write to us, email us, send us a carrier pigeon, however you want to do it. I'd love to hear what's happening in your life. If you have prayer requests, let us stand with you, because we are a body. We've been preaching about body ministry. One part hurts, we all hurt. One part rejoices, we all rejoice. Here's a lie that the enemy tries to speak to us as Christians on a regular basis. You don't need to bother anyone else. Oh, you don't need to share that. They won't be interested in that. That's a lie from the enemy. We are interested. We want to be bothered. We want you to share the good and the not so good, so we can stand with you and we can rejoice with you. We want you to eagerly desire God's gift so that you can be edified and strengthened. And if you struggle, then ask God for a gift that will help you in your struggles, that you would have that ability to speak to him in a way that you're built up and edified and encouraged. Okay, church, continue to read, continue to pray, continue to believe that we will meet again soon, and that God hasn't finished with us yet. That when we come together as a church, we will operate in his gifts in an orderly way, that we may see his kingdom come. Amen? Amen.